Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee today for the privilege of being in the Lord's house under His Word. I pray that Thou wilt speak to each one of us from the Bible, from Thine own Word. I pray that there will be a message from God to each and every soul. Lord, let us be like young Samuel, who was encouraged when the Lord spoke to him to say, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." Give us ears to hear and give us hearts to understand and give us hands and feet that are willing to do Thy will and to go in Thy way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In continuing our series of messages these Lord's Day mornings on the Ten Commandments, I want to again turn your attention to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, and particularly I want us to read the words of verses 8 through 11. The Bible says there, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." In these messages we are examining the subject of the law of God. In particular, we're studying the moral law of God as it is summarized in the Ten Commandments. At present, we're looking in some detail at the fourth commandment. That is the law concerning the Sabbath. Now, my last message was really just an introduction to the fourth commandment, in which I dealt with some very basic issues regarding the topic of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. The fourth commandment, if you want to just crystallize it into one statement, teaches us that there is a definite time that we owe to God for His worship. That is at the heart of this commandment. Basically, what God is telling us is this: the Sabbath day is His time and not ours. There is one day in seven, that is one seventh of the week, that belongs to God exclusively and must be spent not as we choose, but as He has ordained. That is what He says here, if you look carefully at the words of Exodus 20, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Now, it's not without significance that the fourth commandment is the only one to begin with the word remember. Remember the Sabbath day. I think that immediately we're brought to think of the fact that we are prone to forget this day. Remember the Sabbath day. It comes around regularly, every seventh day. And it is something that the careless are apt to forget. But we are not to forget the Sabbath day. We are to remember God's day. Though it is true that most have long since forgotten it. Politicians, storekeepers, sports broadcasters, whoever you want to mention, they have all long since forgotten that there was a commandment concerning a day that belongs to God. But sadly, it also includes professedly Christian churches and people. The Lord's Day means little or nothing to many in our day. I think it's fairly clear from all that we witness in this world on a daily basis and on a weekly basis that the great bulk of mankind has little or no regard at all for God's laws, particularly the fourth commandment. I think it's true to say that there's perhaps none of the ten commandments more despised and more rejected and more maligned than this particular one. Though if you look at the English here, it's the longest one. It's the one that contains the most words. Very few people today, including church people, believe that this particular commandment of God has any relevance at all for their lives in the 21st century. In the case of many professing believers, they will give lip service to the Ten Commandments, including becoming very angry when the commandments are banned from public display in courthouses, etc. There are many people who are very conservative in their politics, and they get very angry when they hear that someone like Judge Moore in Alabama has to remove the Ten Commandments from the precincts of his courthouse. They say, that's ridiculous. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. We believe that these things are part of our nation's fabric and shouldn't be removed. But in reality, in practical terms, many of those same people only believe in 9 commandments. And some of them are preachers. And some of them belong to Bible preaching churches. And they will say, oh yes, we believe in the 10 commandments. But yet you see in their practice that they do not believe in the Sabbath commandment. If you look at your Bible, you're not going to discover that there are 9 commandments left, but there are still 10. And as someone observed, the Sabbath may indeed have been done away with in the practice of many, but there is no precept that has done away with it. The subject may have been done away with, but the lawgiver has not done away with it. Now, I very much question the right of the subject to do away with a law. And I agree with that. The king has a right to make the command, and none of his subjects have a right to say which commands they're going to obey or not obey. Now, I said last time on this particular matter that in coming to look at the 4th commandment, it's probably that one of the 10 which has aroused the most controversy and also engendered the most questions. It has tended also to be the one most attacked and assailed by critics. Now, you might wonder why that should be. Well, I don't think it's surprising at all, given that an attack on God's day is actually an assault upon the worship of God himself. You think about it. Anything at all, whether it be shopping, whether it be sports, whatever it may be, that the devil can use to get people's minds and hearts away from the Lord, he will seek to do that. And he's being very successful in doing that in our day and in our nation. What better way to divert men's minds from the God of the day than by making the day itself just like any other day of the week? And that's what big business has done in the Western world. One day is just like the next day, and people hardly know one day from the next. To many, that's just what the Lord's Day is. It's just like any other day of the week. And of course, many people will assert that the idea of a Sabbath, a rest day, is really impractical in our modern world. It's a nice idea, but we're all too busy to take a complete day off from other things. Well, if we're too busy to give God his day, we're too busy. We're too busy. It could be argued, and I do argue that the hectic pace of modern life actually makes the Sabbath more necessary than ever, and more precious than ever, if we keep it as God would have us to keep. God demands, whatever we may think, that his day be set apart and kept holy. And by the way, that's why we're here today. That's why we're here today. Because there is a commandment to keep God's day apart. It is a different day. It is a day apart. Now, Isaiah chapter 58 from verse 13 contains words that we've already read in this connection. It bears repetition. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If you keep God's day holy, you will find that there will be a blessing correspondingly visited upon your life. Preacher, you're preaching good works. No, I'm not preaching good works. I'm preaching the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, you will reap. And I think you can carry this into the nation, never mind the individual. The nation that has historically kept God's day for God has been a nation blessed. And we're living in such a nation. I've mentioned before the blue laws in Pennsylvania, similar laws I understand in New Jersey and many of the other states. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Well, they didn't come from the present crop of politicians, I can tell you that. Because they've done everything in their power to overturn such things. These things are part and parcel of the heritage that has been handed down to us from men of God in the past. At least men who believed in honouring God. I'm not one of those who believes that every last founding father in America was a Christian. However, what I do believe is many of them were, and also all of them practically, honored God. And they certainly upheld the laws of God. And the whole system of jurisprudence and so on is evidence of that. Now, there are a number of other points that need to be made in connection with this aspect of God's holy law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to consider some of those with you today from the Scriptures. There's one point in particular that I want to really hone in on this morning, and that is that the Sabbath commandment is a perpetual ordinance of God. So if you get nothing else this morning, please get this. The Sabbath is a perpetual ordinance. Ordinance of the Lord. Again, look at Exodus chapter 20. And I didn't write it. These are God's words. This is not just part of a doctrinal statement by a church. These are the words of the Lord. These are the Ten Commandments recorded for us in Scripture. And the Bible says, beginning at verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, and it is a day, it's not an hour. It's not half a day. It's the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that means to set it apart. It means to fence it off. It means to put a boundary around it. It's something that is to be kept sacrosanct for God. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. In other words, these are these other 6 days of the week in which you can do all that you need to do. Apart from, as we shall note, works of necessity and mercy and piety. I've had clever fellows say to me, but you work every Sunday. Yeah, that's right. It's holy work. It's a work of piety. Preaching the word of God, conducting worship services, seeking to honor God on his day. Yes, that is the work that I do. But I don't just work on Sunday. I hope you know that. Works of piety, works of necessity. There are things that have to be done on the Lord's Day. But I have to say, works of necessity has become a very elastic term. There's a lot of people who want to put in that pigeonhole things that are not necessary on the Lord's Day. If there are things that you can do on all other 6 days and can be left till Monday or be done on Saturday before Sunday comes, then you ought to do that. Works of necessity. Works of mercy. The doctor can't say to someone who's just had a heart attack, well, it's the Lord's Day, wait till Monday and I'll treat you. Monday will be too late. Works of necessity, works of mercy are things that the Bible does speak about in relation to the Sabbath. But 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. If it's not necessary, if it's not something that absolutely would have to be done, then it's not lawful for the Sabbath. It's only lawful for those other 6 days. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice that. It belongs to him. It's not ours. It's his. The Sabbath is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do. There's a commandment. Thou shalt not do any work. And you're not to make other people work unnecessarily either. That's why it mentions, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Don't make other people work on the Lord's day either, at things that are not necessary and things that are not merciful. For, here's the reason, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. The Lord has set as an example at creation the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. You mean you believe that stuff, that God created everything in 6 days? Yes, I do. I do. I absolutely believe it. I 100% believe it. In fact, I'm in no doubt about it. God made everything, and he made everything in 6 days. And he rested the seventh day, and wherefore, because of that, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God took a whole day off. And so a whole day each week belongs to him. Now notice again the way the commandment begins. Remember. In case you forgot, I said that about 5 minutes ago. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here is a call for remembrance. The day of God, you see, is something that men and women are prone to forget. Not just the children. We're all prone to forget what day it is, and we need to remember it. But I think that there's an important point here in the fact that the word remember is used. It speaks to the fact that nothing new was being instituted here by God. This was a call for remembrance of something that was already in existence. As we noted in the introduction to this series, really none of the commandments was instituted for the first time at Sinai. It's just that they were being codified here. They were being written down on tablets of stone. But this was not the beginning of God's law. The law didn't begin with Moses and end with Christ. Some teach that, but they're wrong. Some tell us that the fourth commandment has no relevance or application to the New Testament age, that it was an entirely ceremonial idea, and therefore it doesn't apply to us in this gospel age. If I had a dollar for every time I was told that, I'd be a very rich man. This dispensational idea, and if you want to study in dispensationalism, this is not the day for that. But dispensationalism basically is the idea that all time can be divided into seven epochs, seven periods. Seven periods under which God dealt with man in a different fashion. I can certainly see those seven shadowy outlines in Scripture, but I do not believe that God dealt with men differently in those seven periods. Absolutely not. But it's a dispensational idea which has gotten some traction even among some reformed groups, I have to say, that has definitely been responsible for a lot of the widespread disregard for the Lord's Day and its proper observance, even amongst professing Christians. That's why you have certain church groups who do not keep the Lord's Day as they ought to. However, if you note again the wording, the word remember also speaks to the fact that nothing new was being instituted here by God. It was a call to remembrance of something already in existence. And as we noted in the introduction to the series, none of the commandments was instituted at Sinai for the first time. It's just that they were being codified here, written down on tables of stone. The Sabbath had already been instituted at creation. And we saw that from Genesis chapter 2. If you'd like to turn there again, just to refresh your memory, now that we're remembering the Sabbath day, let's remember the institution of it. Let's remember where it began. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Genesis 2 verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested, it means he ceased, on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. It means he set it apart unto a holy purpose. That's what sanctified means. Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now that's literal truth. God made everything in 6 days, and he rested the entire seventh day. Now the commandment itself harks back to this, because if you read again Genesis 20 and verse 10 and on into verse 11, you see that the reason for the Sabbath ordinance is that, to quote verse 11, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath was instituted at creation, and it was certainly in force already in Israel before Exodus chapter 20, as the events surrounding the giving of the manna illustrate. Go back to chapter 16 of Exodus. Remember, the people were hungry, they needed bread, they began to complain against Moses and Aaron, and the Lord sent them angel's food. Not angel food cake, but angel's food. Manna from heaven. It probably wasn't all that appetizing, but it certainly met their needs for all those years. The Bible tells us, down there in the latter part of Exodus 16, verse 23, the Lord said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, verse 25, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. So God didn't send the manna on the Sabbath. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. But human nature, being what it is, sinful human nature being what it is, some of those people, fools that they were, thought they knew better than God. So it says in verse 27 of Exodus 16, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. They didn't believe what God said. God said, I'm not going to send it on the Sabbath, but they thought, well, it might come down today. People have a hard time, don't they, believing what God says. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep, notice this, my commandments and my laws? The Sabbath commandment was already in force. See, verse 29, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. It's a gift. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. It was certainly a commandment that was in force in Israel before it was ever written on tablets of stone. Now the word Sabbath, contrary to much popular belief, does not mean Saturday. The word Sabbath is not another word for Saturday. Shabbat is a word for rest. The Sabbath is a rest day. Of course, that doesn't mean it's merely a day of physical rest. It is not a day for idleness and indolence and laziness. It is a day for, as the Catechism puts it, a holy resting all that day. There is refreshment, therefore, for both body and soul on this day. And that's what God instituted it for. If you compare Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, you'll see there that the Lord talks about the Sabbath, and he says this, Exodus 31:17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And as I pointed out in a previous message, it speaks of this word refreshed elsewhere in Exodus, and it literally means to catch your breath. The Sabbath is a time to catch your breath. And it was originally given to commemorate the creation and the fact that God rested from his work on one day, and hence his people are to imitate his holy example. The Sabbath day is a rest day, and it has been sanctified. That's the word that's used. Set apart unto a holy purpose by the Lord. He has ordained it. He has set it apart from the other days of the week as a day with a difference. Now, the words that we read in our Bible reading today now come to mind. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 27. These are the words of Christ. The Lord Jesus is speaking. And he said unto them, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Literally, that means the Sabbath was made for man's benefit. The Sabbath is not a legalistic, harsh imposition of God. It's not meant to make you miserable. It's not meant to make you feel bad. The Sabbath is a gift from God. It is good for your body. It is good for your soul. But notice carefully, it was made for man. This is a universal law for all nations. And so it was not, contrary to what many teach, made for the Jews alone, but it was made for all men. The Sabbath was made for man, not just for Israel. It was made for man's benefit. You see, the Sabbath was not, again, as some erroneously teach, part of the ceremonial law merely, to be done away with in Christ. But the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, was an inextricable part of the moral code which is binding upon all peoples in all ages. And this is a really important point. It lies at the heart of much of the controversy, needless controversy, I might add, in regard to the issue of Sabbath keeping. You see, there are some who tell us that the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel, and therefore it's not applicable in this gospel age. Now, the first part of what they said is correct. The second part of what they say is incorrect. It is true that the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel, but that's not all that it was. While it is true that the Lord did make the Sabbath a sign between himself and Israel, and we just read about that in Exodus 31 and verse 13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. It is true to say that the Sabbath was made a sign between the Lord and Israel, but it is not true to say that the Sabbath was only for Israel, any more than we could say that the covenant sign of the rainbow in the sky was only for Noah. It's for all of God's people. And I think the fact that the commandment is rooted in creation speaks to that. As we've just seen, Exodus 20 verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and so on. It has an application to all men and nations, because, frankly, all men were interested in the creation of the world, not just Jews. I think it's incredible that anybody would think God rested after the creation of man only as a pattern to the Jews, who are a tiny fraction of mankind. No, you see, because a general law is put to a particular use, i.e., the law for all nations made a sign to Israel from God, doesn't destroy the force of that general law, because it was spoken of as a sign between God and the Jews, does not nullify its force for all men and all nations. And Jesus said it, didn't he? The Sabbath was made for man. He didn't say the Sabbath was made for Israel. He said the Sabbath was made for man. That is an unrestricted and universal term. Now, sometimes reference is made to the wording of the fourth commandment as grounds for teaching that it no longer applies in the New Testament. And Seventh-day Adventists are particularly good at speaking of it in this way, and so are others. And Seventh-day Adventism, by the way, is a cult. I don't make any bones about that. I have a number of messages on sermonaudio.com dealing with Seventh-day Adventism. And I suppose the most negative comments I've ever received on any sermons have all been received about those messages, all from Seventh-day Adventists. They want so badly to be accepted as bona fide evangelical Christians. But I want to tell you something. Any organization which teaches that at the end of time, all the sins of God's people will be laid upon Satan, and that he will be the scapegoat to take away our sins, that is a cult. That's a false religion. And any religion that makes Sabbath keeping, Saturday Sabbath keeping, necessary for salvation is a religion of good works and is a false religion. But I don't want to spend my time dealing with Seventh-day Adventism today. But they are good at pointing this out from Exodus chapter 20. What does it say? Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And they'll say, there you go. The Lord's Day is not the first day of the week. The Lord's Day is Saturday. But let's look at it. This verse does not say what some people think it says. You know, it's interesting how, and you probably get emails like that, where you read something and you think you've read a certain thing, but you didn't read that. You read something else. The mind is a wonderful thing. And it's so wonderful that some people are able to read Exodus 20 and verse 10 and come up with this. But the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now, that may be in your Bible, but it's not in mine. It doesn't say that in my Bible. And it doesn't say it in yours either, I'll wager. Even though I don't wager. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Not the seventh day of the week. But surely that's what it means. No, that's not what it means. That's what it meant for Israel. But it's not what it means for us today as Christians. You see, the wording of the commandment is very carefully worded. Look at verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So if your 6 days in which work may be done are the day Sunday through Friday, then the seventh day of the week would be the Sabbath. The seventh day being Saturday would be the Sabbath. But that's not what it says here. It says 6 days shalt thou labor. And if your 6 days of labor begin on Monday through to Saturday, then the seventh day is the first day of the week. What am I saying? I'm saying what God is saying. The 6 days of labor are followed by one day as a Sabbath. It is not necessary at all to believe in a Saturday Sabbath. In fact, it is unscriptural today to believe in that, because the Lord Jesus sanctified the new day by rising again from the dead. It had nothing to do with the Pope. It had nothing to do with Constantine. Nothing to do with some ordinance that was made by some man. This is what God himself has established. The verse doesn't say the seventh day of the week. It says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That is the day following the 6 days in which work may be lawfully done. Of course, for Israelites, the day was the seventh day of the week. It was Saturday. But for Christians, the Sabbath, the Lord's own day, is the first day of the week, Sunday. And the commandment I will show you here, you can see it, is worded in such a way that in both eras, the commandment properly applies. So away with this notion that the fourth commandment can just be ripped out of the Bible because it's Old Testament. That's false. The Sabbath commandment is a perpetual ordinance of God that extends from the creation on earth even to redeem men in glory itself. Now turn to Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 4 and verse 9. There's a very interesting statement that is made there. And of course, the rest that is referred to is the rest of faith and the rest of heaven, the rest of glory. People ceasing from their works, saved by faith. But notice that it says in verse 9, Hebrews 4, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That word, sabbatismos, you will not be surprised to know, has reference to a Sabbath. People say, well, the Sabbath's not in the New Testament. Well, it is here. There remaineth therefore the keeping of a Sabbath to the people of God. That's what it means. There remaineth the keeping of a Sabbath to the people of God. Heaven is a perpetual Sabbath where the redeemed rest from their labors. It is a place of Sabbath where the redeemed rest, a place of never ceasing worship. And this is an interesting point for us to note. It has been rightly stated that those who cannot abide the Lord's own day on the earth would never be able to put up with heaven. And that's a good point. You know, people who have no time for God's worship here on earth, do you think they're going to want to go to heaven where it's nothing but worship? That's all heaven is. You know, it's not people lying about in clouds and folks dropping grapes into their mouths and playing harps. Heaven is worship. They rest from their labors, the Bible says, of those who are in heaven. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. What does it say of God's people? It's Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Labor and work is over. It's now heaven. And so, if you cannot abide the Lord's day on the earth, how do you think you would be able to endure heaven? Heaven is all about worship. Those who do not desire the worship of God on His day would not want to go to that place where there's a never-ending engagement in the worship of the Lord. I remember speaking to a couple of carpenters who were building our building back in Scotland that we built there for the church. And, you know, they knew I was the minister and they would ask me questions. Sometimes I would go down there to help them with things and be like a labourer. And these two guys one day started talking to me and I asked them the question. I said, do you fellas expect to go to heaven? Where do you think you'll go when you die? And they both said, oh, we're going to go to heaven. I said, are you? What makes you think that? Well, we're pretty good guys. We're not as bad as some other people, the usual. I said, well, that's no reason for going to heaven. There's plenty of people who are decent people who will be in hell. If you're not saved, if you don't have Christ in your heart, if you've never been born again of His Spirit, you're not going to heaven, period. Well, I didn't want to hear that. Oh, we're going to heaven. I said, well, can you tell me what heaven is all about? Do you know what heaven is like? No, nobody knows. Nobody's come back. I said, well, you're not correct. There are some who have come back from heaven, the Apostle Paul being one of them. But I said this. You know what heaven is all about? Heaven is all about the worship of God. Now, I knew these two guys never went to church. So I said, how much time do you spend worshiping God? Oh, they got a little bit jittery with that. So you're going to want to go to a place when you die where all they do is something that you never do now. Oh, I didn't know heaven was like that. That's what heaven is, friends. It's also been pointed out, however, there is no Sabbath in hell. There's no Sabbath in hell. There are no days wherein there is rest from torment. And this is a serious point. Quite literally, in a lost eternity, there will be no rest for the wicked. No Sabbath. No rest days. But heaven will be a perpetual Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, obviously, there are those such as dispensationalists that I mentioned earlier and antinomians. That's another big word, antinomian. It simply means no law. There are people who believe that there's no law that applies today. And they object to what I'm teaching here. And they think they have biblical evidence for their position, which is that Christians are not now required to keep a Sabbath day. That in fact, there is no Sabbath in the New Testament age. This is often asserted. And in order to defend their position, such will quote, misquote actually, the Bible to defend their position. And in the interest of honesty, and in dealing correctly with this, I want to look at these verses very quickly with you as we close. Three of them, three portions, Romans chapter 14, Galatians chapter 4, and Colossians chapter 2. Let's take them in order. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. And so they'll take this massive leap and say, if you want to keep the Sabbath, have at it, go ahead, but I've chosen not to, because I'm not required to. Well, first of all, there is no mention made in this portion of the weekly Sabbath at all. That's important for us to note. I mean, if we're going to say we're throwing out the Sabbath, we better make sure that that's what's being referred to here, and it's not. Romans 14, verse 5. Then you have Galatians 4, and people will think, well, there's even greater evidence here for what we're saying. There is no Sabbath. There's no need to keep any Sabbath day today. Galatians chapter 4 from verse 10. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And people will say, well, there you go. You are observing these days. And Paul is speaking against that. Before I deal with that, let's come to the third scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And perhaps this is the one that's quoted most in opposition to the keeping of the Lord's Day as a holy day in its entirety. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And the Sabbath is what is used here. Sabbatismos, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And many will preach this and say, look, see, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. They confidently assert that. But let's not just look at these verses in a surface manner. Let's look more closely at these verses. What is Paul really teaching here in Romans 14, Galatians 4, and Colossians chapter 2? These texts, all of them, I would suggest, are referring to the keeping of the ceremonial feasts of the Jews, including the many ceremonial observances known as Sabbaths. We haven't time to go into all of these verses today, but believe me, there are many of them, Old and New Testament, where it speaks of Sabbaths that are not referring to the weekly Sabbath. They're ceremonial Sabbaths. Remember, for example, in relation to the death of Christ, it talks about how that they didn't want the body staying on the cross on that day, for that day, that Sabbath was an high day. It was one of their ceremonial Sabbaths. It was one of their observances, which were known also as feasts of the Lord. And the word Sabbath was often used in that way to refer to many ceremonial Jewish feasts, not just to the weekly Sabbath. Now, in his writings, Paul was correcting the ideas of the Judaizers in Galatia, for example, that Christians were obligated to keep the Old Testament ceremonies, including circumcision, in order to be saved. And that's what he was calling there in the Galatians passage, weak and beggarly elements. That's in the context, Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? In other words, why are you trying to bring all these ceremonial observances into the New Testament when those observances are fulfilled in the work of Christ? You don't want to tell people today that they have to keep a Passover. That's false. Why? Because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not the literal feast, but the feast of the gospel. This is what Paul is saying. It's nothing to do with the weekly Sabbath. He's not even talking about the weekly Sabbath. He's correcting the Judaizers, people who were saying, as they did in Acts chapter 15, that unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. They were saying, look, unless you're circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And that was settled in Acts chapter 15. Paul is not telling us that there is now no weekly day of worship for believers in the New Testament, because you've only to look at his own practice as well as his precept to see that that was not the case. In Acts chapter 20 verse 7, Paul met on the first day of the week with the believers and preached unto them. You will find that in 1 Corinthians 16, the first part of that chapter, he talks about the collections that were to be gathered on the first day of the week when they came together. There is no question that the practice of the apostle, as well as his precept, shows us that he did believe in keeping the Lord's day. And in these verses that I've just quoted, he was not referring to any supposed abrogation of the fourth commandment. And friends, it's wrong of anyone, it's sinful for anyone to teach or to imply that. God has not repealed any of the Ten Commandments. We don't have a broken law now of nine commandments because the Sabbath is done away with. But that's what happens in some places. In his book on the law of God, Dr. Cairns rightly says of the Sabbath, indeed, he, God, has retained it and has made it the memorial of the resurrection of Christ by changing its observance from the seventh to the first day of the week. And we're going to deal more fully with this in a coming message. But suffice to say this, the weekly Sabbath, the first day of the week, the whole day, is a great blessing and boon from God. You ought to look forward to the rest of the Sabbath. You ought to look forward to the refreshment of the Sabbath. You shouldn't be like those that are spoken of in Nehemiah and in the other minor prophets who wished for the Sabbath to be over so that they could get back to their trading. It ought to be the other way around. The Sabbath is God's gift to men. If they but realized it, the Sabbath was made for man. It's for his benefit. It's a blessing to our souls to be able to come to the house of God and to meet with the Lord's people on the Lord's day and read the Lord's word. What a blessing is the Lord's day. Many today have no thought of God's day. Many forsake God's day to carry out their own plans, to do their own thing, to go after their own pleasure. And such would be spoken of in words like Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking. It means abandoning the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Certainly, if you think of this in the context of the Sabbath, what a blessing it is to be able to assemble ourselves together around the Lord's word. We're to guard the great privilege of meeting together with the Lord's people every Lord's Day. I say to you, it is the best way to recover from the pressures of the week that's just over and to prepare for the challenges of the week that's yet to come. The Sabbath, the blessing, and the precept enjoins rest, refreshment, and worship. And that is how we should be observing the Christian Sabbath. It's not tipping your hat at God for an hour on Sunday morning if you can afford that hour. That's not keeping the commandment of God. Remember the Sabbath day, 24 hours, to keep it holy. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. May we also hallow this day because it is His. Amen.